you this evening. Let's turn to 477. We'll sing the first, second, and last verses of At Calvary. Let's stand. 477. Brother Buddy, you lead us in prayer, please, sir. Yes. Amen. Yes. Yes. Alright, 438 for our fellowship time, Footsteps of Jesus. First, second, fellowship. We'll come back on the last. 438. Thank you. right, last verse. Then at last when around he sees us, our journey done, we will rest with the steps of Jesus at his throne. Footprints of Jesus that makes the pathway glow, we will follow the steps of Jesus where'er they go. Thank you. You may be seated. All right, let's pray for Miss Teresa. She sings for us tonight.
I've been traveling for Jesus so much of my life. I've been traveling on land and on sea. But I'm counting on taking a trip to the sky. That will be the last move for me. When I move to the sky, up on heaven on high, what a wonderful trip that will be. I'm all ready to go, washed in Calvary's flow. That will be the last move for me. Here I'm bothered with packing each time that I move, and I carry a load in each hand. But I'll not need one thing that I've used in this world when I move to that heavenly land. When I move to the sky, up to heaven on high, what a wonderful trip that will be. I'm all ready to go, washed in Calvary's flow. That will be the last move for me. Everything that I need will be furnished up there, and not even my songbooks I'll bring. And the precious old Bible that showed me the way, I'll not need when I stand by the King. Here I'm constantly saying farewell to my friends, and the partings bring heartaches and pain. But when moving day comes, when I make my last trip, we shall meet where we'll part ne'er again. When I move to the sky, up to heaven on high, what a wonderful trip that will be. I'm all ready to go, washed in Calvary's flow. That will be the last move for me. I'm all ready to go, washed in Calvary's flow. That will be the last move for me.
Turn in your Bibles with me to the book of Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Bless you, Holly. Bless you, Holly. What we really need to do is teach him German, teach him Gesundheit. That's better than Heil Hitler. That's, you know, that would be better. All right, Philippians chapter 1. 4, I'd rather. Excuse me, chapter 4. Thursday is Thanksgiving. We should be thankful. As much much as I hate to say it, I fear that America has become a very spoiled nation. It's not at all appreciative of what it has. It has more than many countries have, probably the majority of countries around the world. How many of you remember that old TV show, The Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous? Do you remember that old show? Robin, what's his last name? Robin, I forgot his last name, the fellow. What? Robin Leach. How do you forget one that's one name that's a bird and one's a bug? Robin Leach. And he had that distinctive accent. And, you know, I mean, isn't it amazing when you look at that stuff? What people own? And I'm thinking, where do you get the money for that stuff? I mean, these beautiful homes, these humongous swimming pools, you know, money in the bank, homes all over the world. And then, isn't it amazing that these same people, you see them on the news, and they're having nervous breakdowns, and they are committing suicide. And it's like, how can you do that? How can you legitimately, if you define happiness and success by the world's definition, you people ought to be the happiest people on the planet. And yet it's ironic when you hear some of these Hollywood actors and actresses that they kill themselves. They complain. They go into depression. They become alcoholics. They go into drug abuse. And they should have everything in the world that anybody could want. Hard to fathom that. But then I see people who are Christians, and they struggle, have a hard time, hardly can make it from paycheck to paycheck. But you see them, and they're not taking Valium. They're not drinking alcoholic beverages. They're happy. They're smiling. They're laughing. They don't talk about that they can't sleep because they're worried about, you know, the next financial crisis to hit the world. Different world, isn't it? Different world. I want to read to you in chapter 4 verses that I've told you in the past. These are my life verses, at least right now. I think that in your Christian life you may have different life verses. That's okay, because God may use different life verses for different times in your life. And that's okay. So, but right now, chapter 4 verses 6 and 7 are my life verses. And it's just full of nuggets. Be careful for nothing. Do not be anxious. Literally, do not be full of care. Why? Why should we be careful for nothing? Why should we? Does this mean that I'm supposed to just throw caution to the wind and do anything I want to do? Is that what that means? No. But there are people that are so terrified. Everything makes a purpose. Everything makes a purpose. He said, don't live your life like that. Don't live your life like that. But if you have a problem with anxiety, have you ever had a panic attack? I think many people have those problems. I think that's, sometimes you think about things, and the devil begins to whisper things to you and tell you, you're not going to make it, you're going under. And sometimes panic attacks happen. How do you deal with a panic attack? Here's what it says. But in everything, by prayer and supplication. Now let's break these things down just for a minute. Everything means everything, doesn't it? That means that God is concerned with every area of my life and your life, no matter how minute we think it is. God is concerned. Everything. Okay, maybe you're going to be buying groceries this week. Is money to you a precious commodity? It is, from the standpoint, if you're trying to save money and you don't have a lot of money, You want to go and get the best deals. Is it right to say, God, take me to where the best deals are? I think God is fine with that. Somebody says, oh, you can't bother God with things like that. Why not? It says in everything. If I can go to one grocery store and get $20 cheaper than I can another grocery store, what's wrong with that? I don't have a problem with that. In everything. That's $20 I can use to pay a bill. So why does God not care about that? He does care about that. Maybe when your kids were growing up, you had them involved in some sports like baseball, Little League, something like that. And you were scared to death for them because you were just afraid they weren't going to do too well. And you just didn't know how to handle the brokenheartedness of your child. And way down deep inside you're saying, Lord, it sure would be great if he could win this game today. And it's like, you can't ask God to do something like that. Well, I think you're right to a point. Because there's got to be, on the other team, there's also got to be some Christians on the other team praying for the other team to win. So I don't know on that one, but I know this. I know that God is concerned with the welfare of the children. And God is concerned with ministering and helping a child. If the child were to lose the game, God is concerned about the feelings of that child. And everything by prayer and then supplication. The word supplication comes from the word supply, and we pray, oh God, supply my needs. I think we would be surprised what our needs are if we really got down and examined them. I think a lot of the things that we think are needs are really not needs. Somebody says, well, I need this. Do you really? Now, there was a day, for instance, that people would go around, and most of you know what I'm saying. There might be a few young'uns in here who don't know what I'm talking about. There was a day when most of us was growing up, people drove anything that would move. They didn't have to look good. They didn't have to be clean. They didn't have to have paint on it. As long as it ran. Tell me how many vehicles out there that you see in one day that fit that description. People today, especially young people, are not going to drive anything like that anymore. Now the question is, what do we need? As opposed to what do I want? God will provide or supply my needs, but I've got to understand that I know the difference. I don't think, you know, that it necessarily means that God wants us to go around in some old smelly, dirty old clunker, but whatever God provides for us and it takes care of the need at that particular time, we have to say, God, thank you, you supplied my needs. Okay? Be careful for nothing. Do not be anxious. Do not have an anxiety attack. But in everything, 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 by prayer, that's communion with God, talking to God, and supplication, God, I need you to supply my needs. Things are tough, Lord. Lord, Christmas is, does God care if you have enough money to buy Christmas this year? Now, I wouldn't want to get on the bandwagon. I know some Christians, I know some preachers that say that Christmas is pagan and Christmas is this and Christmas is that. And I just get tired of some of that stuff. Because if you're going to get that minute, if you're going to get that way down deep into it, you better be down deep on everything else you do in your life. Consistency will hang you like a hangman's noose. Be careful. Be careful what bandwagon you jump on Because when you jump on one bandwagon, somebody's going to see it, and the one you should jump on, they'll jump on you. And be the first one to say, hypocrite. So that's not the issue. The issue is, if we're observing Christmas and things are tight, does God care? I think He does. I think there's a difference between being foolish and being wasteful. I don't think we need to be going into, like so many, unbelievable how people will just go and they'll spend and charge $5,000 and $6,000 and $7,000 and $8,000 and $9,000 and $1,000 on a card for Christmas, and then maybe if they're lucky get it paid off by next Christmas and go through the... I don't think that that's a question of good stewardship. But I think God is concerned if there are things in your life that get a little tight and you'd like to at least have a little bit of a break, at least a little level, maybe lift it up a little bit, not feel that crunch all the time. I believe God... Because, again, what is our supply? What are we talking about as far as supply is concerned? What is my need? And I'm not sure that necessarily Christmas presents are a need, but I think that they're still part of the fact that God loves us, and He does talk about giving the desires of our heart. And I think we have to be careful to understand that God is not some master with a sledgehammer ready to bust us in the chops. I think sometimes we paint God in that picture. Have you ever had times in which God has done things for you and you just, like He just touched your heart and He said, "See, I did that because I love you." You ever done that? Has anybody ever had that happen to you? Nobody? Raise your hand if you've ever had that happen. Has God ever showed you that He's blessed you and given you something just because He loves you? Yeah, I think everybody, every one of us. If we haven't, we're blind. We're blind because I believe God blesses us every day with that. Now, notice this. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, notice this, with thanksgiving. Made a statement just a few minutes ago. I believe it. We have become an ungrateful country. We have become, I fear, in recent years, a country that is so dependent on federal government that we expect everything to be handed to us. And do you know what happens when that type of mentality hits anybody, whether it is an individual or whether it's a nation? Do you know the first consequence of that attitude is ingratitude? You possess an attitude of ingratitude. You know why? Because what happens is you begin to think, they owe me. They owe me. How about, oh, I sure am thankful. I didn't have to have this, but. I was in Kroger the other day getting a few things, and I heard this lady talking. This woman was talking to her daddy or talking to her husband, or they were looking at something, and here she, and it just hit me, you know. And I'm not trying to be ugly. Don't think I, it just kind of hit me. And she said, yeah, we can get this, this, and this, and we can get that with food stamps. And don't misunderstand me, there are some marvelous people that need food stamps, and I think they ought to get it. Because if they paid into the system, I'm okay with that. If they've worked and they're in a hard place, but I have a hard time with people who take it for granted and live on it forever. I got trouble with that one. Y'all look like you're not there where I am. Maybe I'm on a different planet than y'all are. I don't know if I'm making sense. The more I believe that people are given things, I think the less appreciative they are. There isn't anything that I have that I deserve. And I got news for you. You're the same way. None of us deserve any of the good blessings of God. And the very fact that he just is so good to let us have these things ought to make us more thankful. Don't you just hate to hear somebody speak up and say, "Well, I don't have anything to be thankful about"? I'd about be thankful for a baseball bat right about that time. That just drives me crazy. I want to ask a question. Do you have clothes on your body? Do you have a warm place to sleep? Do you have something to eat? Do you have your basic needs supplied? Do you have oxygen to breathe in your lungs? Then that alone should be enough to shout from the rafters. Because we have better than we deserve. I love the passage in the Bible that says, "God is good and greatly to be praised. Blessed be the name of the Lord." That's what we ought to do. We ought to be in the process of trying to praise Him and thank Him and glorifying Him. Because if you are thankful for little things, when God gives you big things, it's overwhelming. It's like, wow. Be careful. Be anxious. Do not have anxiety attacks. But in everything, every single salty of things, by prayer, talking to God, supplication, getting your needs met, and with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Let's get down to where the rubber meets the road. It's not easy to say, but awful hard sometimes to be thankful when things get tough. It's awful hard when our loved ones die to give thanks when we miss them. It's awfully hard to give thanks if the doctor tells us we have a disease in our bodies. It's hard. But you know what he says? 1 Thessalonians last chapter, what does it say? "In everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." You say, "Well, preacher, I just don't think I can do that." Well, I've been there, done that. But I'll tell you what happens if you can't give thanks. The next thing is you're going to turn bitter. Because you're not able to accept what God has done. People say, "I'm all upset and I'm depressed because Obama's in office." Well, I don't think any of us are happy over that. But I'll tell you one thing, there's no sense in going into depression about it. You saw on the news where a man took his life and killed himself because Obama went back and went in office. It's ridiculous. It's silly. I'm not trusting on Obama. I don't have the same philosophy that Bill Clinton had when he looked at his daughter Chelsea and said, "There are three things in my life I fear." And Chelsea said to Bill, "What is it?" He said, "Osama, Obama, and your mama." You know, we don't have to be afraid of these things. Greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. We got through 8 years of Bill Clinton. We can get through what we have to with Obama. Because it's God that's going to do it. It's not man. It's not the government. It's not any of that stuff. It's going to be God. And He's going to get us through. So with thanksgiving, God, thank you. I don't understand why our country is in the mess that it's in, God, but I must thank you for all things and everything give thanks, and I'm thanking you for this even though I do not understand it. We are commanded in the Scriptures to do that. And what we are doing, we are humbling ourselves under the mighty hand of God. And when you learn to humble yourself before God, may I say to you, almost everything after that's easy. Bring yourself under His subjection. Bring yourself in submission to His will and purpose and accept it. And though you cannot always understand it, you must still accept it because it is the will of God. Now, after you've done all that, what does it say? Let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth, I love this, passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. How can a Christian?
There are people sitting here tonight that have overwhelming burdens. But you will go home tonight and you will put your head on your pillow and God, hallelujah, will snuggle up you and give you peace and you'll sleep like a little baby. Why? Peace of God that cannot be comprehended by this human brain will keep, protect, secure your heart, your mind, and your soul in Christ Jesus. You can't explain it, and you never will explain it because God will not do so.
What do? You pray, and you give it to Him. And you thank Him. Oh my God. You thank Him. How do you do it? How do you thank Him in the midst of tragedy? But God says to do it. Whew, it's hard. I don't know what you're doing, Lord, but I'm trying to thank You. At the same time, you're coming before Him and you're letting your request be made known. And God, I don't understand why I'm going through this at this time, but Lord, I'm asking You if it could bring glory to Your name. Help me to understand the lesson that You want me to learn, and then, Lord, let me pass on to another lesson because this one's awful hard. And when you've learned it, He will oftentimes move you to the next one. But if you're having a hard time learning it and accepting it, you're not going anywhere. He's not graduating you to the next level till you get this one down where it needs to be between you and Him. Now, I want to do something tonight. We got folks here that have some burdens, great burdens, physical burdens. In just a minute, well, turn me to James, book of James. Take you to familiar passage of Scripture. Chapter 5. Look at verse 13. Is any among you afflicted? Let him say the word. Pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And I hope I'm not going to overstep my grounds here, but I'm going to do it anyway. And the reason I'm going to do it is because I'm your pastor and I love you. And I know that many times we do carry tremendous loads. But you know what the Bible tells us? The Bible tells us to bear one another's burdens. It's too early in our lives if we forget that other people hurt and let them hurt. It's too easy to go through a week and on maybe somebody's sick in the church, somebody's not feeling well or something, and you know what? We get so busy with stuff that we don't even think about picking up the phone. We don't call anybody. We don't check on anybody. And then when we see them at church, then we think about it. But isn't it good to maybe just tell somebody, hey, thinking about you, praying about you. That makes somebody's day, wouldn't it? But we don't do that. Because we get so encompassed with the world. And so sucked in, we forget. You know, can I just kind of share something, and then I'm going to move on. You know what kind of burden I have is that we got a whole stack of these postcards that I had printed when I came here 3 years ago, and they're hardly ever touched. How about just taking a few of them and send out cards, and all you gotta do is put their name and address on it and send it to them, but nobody gets them, nobody takes them. I mean, nobody can do that but you. I mean, how else do people know we care about them and love them if we don't tell them? Now, here's where I'm saying that I might be overstepping my grounds. If I am, you forgive me, but I'm going to do it anyway. I'm going to ask Miss Teresa. I'm going to ask Miss Pam. I'm going to ask Miss Faye. And I'm going to ask Bro Bill. I'm going to ask you to all come on this front row, and we're going to pray for you because all of you have some physical needs, and that's all we'll go, but you have some physical needs that are giving you a rough time, they're a burden to you, and we're going to follow the injunction of James chapter 5, and we're going to anoint you with oil, and we're going to pray. I'm going to ask the entire church family to come up. Is there anybody else that has a special need and you want to be included, you want to be anointed with oil? And we will follow the scriptural injunction, and we will pray as the Bible has commanded. Is there any besides these four folks that have a special need that you would like to be included and anointed with oil? If you would, you come to the front pew. Everybody else come and sit around them. We're going to lay hands on them. And we're going to come before the Lord, and we're going to pray for them. Now, I don't have to know everybody's business, and you don't either. I said this a long time ago. I've said it many times. God called me to be a pastor. God did not call me to be a policeman. I'm not like some people. I know some people, they've got to give it more five minutes. But they've lost their mind. All I've got to know, what I know, is four people. Thank you.
when he moves among us, all that he does, all of his mercy and all of his love, and the pen and the writer could write every day. Even this world could never contain how I have been blessed. The warmth in the winter, the flowers in spring, the laughter in summer, and the changing of leaves, the food on my table, a good place to sleep, clothes on my back, and shoes on my feet. I have been blessed. I have been blessed. God's so good to me. Precious are his thoughts of you and me. No way I could count them. There's not enough time. So I'll just thank him for being so kind. God has been good, so good. I have been blessed. Arms that will raise, a voice that can talk, hands that can touch, and legs that can walk, ears that can listen, eyes that can see. Oh, I've got to praise him as long as I breathe. I have been blessed. A father and mother who nurtured and raised, a brother and sister, memories made, our pastor to lead us, the altar to pray, stripes that can heal, and blood that can save. I have been blessed. I have been blessed. God's so good to me. Precious are his thoughts of you and me. No way I could count them. There's not enough time. So I'll just thank him for being so kind. God has been good, so good. I have been blessed. We live in a country, the greatest on earth. Our flag stands for freedom and what it is worth. She stands in the harbor, Miss Liberty calls. All have gained some, but some have given all for me to be blessed. He's my shoulder to lean on when I am down, the rock where he leads me when I'm overwhelmed. The place where he hides me is under his wings. He's not just a song, he's the reason I sing. I have been blessed. I have been blessed. God's so good to me. Precious are his thoughts of you and me. No way I can count them. There's not enough time. So I'll just thank him for being so kind. God has been good, so good. I have been blessed. God has been good, so good. I have been blessed.
Can I say to you, it doesn't matter how bad it is, it can always get worse. So what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying let's be thankful for what we have. It could be worse. God is good all the time. Brother Bill, would you come and receive the offering tonight, please? While you're getting ready to give the tithes and offerings to the Lord tonight, This Wednesday we'll be having our prayer time, devotional, and we'll be having business meeting tonight. We had to postpone business meeting to this Wednesday because of the revival meeting. I appreciate those of you that prayed and supported our meeting. We had a wonderful meeting with Brother Toler, Brother Toler's First Church. Of course, many of you remember him. He's visited our church on many occasions. And God is using he and his dear wife and blessing, and we had just a good revival. Unfortunately, we didn't see anybody saved, but we saw God work in hearts and lives. And this is in a church that's been over, it's over 70-some years of age, and they basically quit having revival meetings. And God just moved in on us in those services. Attendance was much better than they ever anticipated, and the people were encouraged. And so I appreciate those of you who brought that to your mind and prayed for our revival meeting. But we will be having our business meeting Wednesday night. And then this Sunday, our one-day missions conference. Now, we're going to meet in the auditorium. Brother Buddy, you won't have to teach. You and I will not be teaching that day. And we'll have our missionaries here. We'll have Pastor Freeman here bringing our Bible study concerning missions. And then, of course, Brother Daniel will be sharing and give us an update as he's getting ready to go to Mexico. And then Brother Freeman will be bringing the message. So I want you to keep these things in mind. Pray for the one-day missions conference. Pray that God will one more time ignite our hearts for missions. So please keep that in mind. Brother Bill, will you lead us in prayer, please? Great week. We'll see you, Lord willing, on Wednesday.